This is the third, likely final week in our little series, The Physical Touch of God, looking at Jesus reaching out his hand and touching people, the impact it has. We're going to look at John 20 this week, John 20, 19 through 23. This is the ongoing work now of Jesus, his peace for us, his presence with us, in us, as we've been singing, and his mission for us. John 20, 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." This is the word of the Lord. First, it's peace for us. Everything else I'm about to say, you can only experience if you first have peace with God. Verse 19, Jesus came, stood among them, said, "Peace be with you." It might seem to us as well as to them, maybe it was just a standard greeting, you know? Hello. Shalom. Peace be with you. But Jesus repeats it, and John records it. Verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Repeats it and is recorded to keep us, and likely to have kept them, from reducing it to that kind of merely a standard greeting status. No, there's something more here. See, this is not him simply saying, "How's it going?" This is the resurrected Lord, having finished the work of redemption, showing them the proof of that work, his hands and his side, now saying, "I have secured peace with God for you." You see, the message of the crucifixion, before it's anything else, the message of the crucifixion is, you were at war with God. You look at the cross, this is what you deserved. Your omnipotent creator was coming against you in fury. And if that is true, nothing else in your life is going to work together in the long run, right? It's significant, but the cross is, I have settled that. I've solved that. I have now resolved that conflict and given you peace with your omnipotent creator who was opposed to you. It's significant that in every one of Paul's New Testament epistles, he includes the words, "Peace be with you." It's what it's all about. D.A. Carson has aptly written that shalom here is the Easter complement to Good Friday's, "It is finished. Price paid. Your sins are forgiven." So before you have that, nothing in your life will work out in the long run, but conversely, after you have that, you can face anything. Look at these men throughout the book of Acts. They go from being cowering in a huddle behind locked doors to boldly facing greater threats than most of us can imagine. You experience peace with God, it'll set you loose to face anything in this world. So before we go any further today, do you have this peace? Do you know it? And if you don't, see his hands, see his side, and repent of your sin and believe and have peace with God. And if you have believed, but not yet walking in fullness of it, listen further. We'll keep going. But it's all flowing out of this peace that he brings us. So that's first. Told you to be quick. Second, the whole bit about the doors being locked. leads us to the next part of the message. I've said a couple times the last couple weeks, Jesus is not on earth physically now in the same way that he was during the time of the Gospels, right? Walking around the way that they had then. I had a lot more thoughts I was going to share on this today. I'm going to table those for another time, for another day, not just for the sake of time. But he's not physically on earth the same way now that he was then, safe to say that. And that reality is at least hinted at here. Again, verse 19. Sorry. Evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, he comes and stands among them. Now, there's a decent bit of discussion about how we're exactly supposed to understand this. Some say it's more the Acts 12 route, like nothing changed with his body physically, just the door was supernaturally open and hey, here I am, even though the door is locked. Others, and this is where I am, side with, it seems like he passed through the door, or he passed through the walls, right? Doors being shut, there he is. It's a little bit interesting to think about because the whole emphasis of the resurrection, he's a physical body. Part of why I hold to this, is earlier in John 20 with the description of how he comes out of the grave, the description of the shroud seems to indicate that Jesus' body likewise just passed through the grave clothes. So Lazarus is raised, and how does he come out? He's still wrapped up. They have to untie him. Raised back to life, exact same physical body, no change, just what he had before. Jesus comes back to life, and it seems like his body passes through the grave clothes. Still a physical body, still continuity with who he was before physically, yet a different kind of body. A different degree of glory. As others have said, the angel rolled away the stone not to let Jesus out. He wasn't trapped in there, but to let us in so we knew what was going on. And so with those two in mind, it fits here. Doors locked, sealed, walls. There he is. And if that's the case, that kind of physical continuity with who he was before, it's a real flesh and bones body, yet also some degree, different degree of glory, a discontinuity, a greater degree than simply who he was before. Well, that would fit the way the New Testament often speaks of the resurrected body, especially 1 Corinthians 15. It was sown perishable, it would be raised imperishable. It was this kind, now it is this kind, though still being physical. However we understand all that, he is not on earth physically the exact same way he was 2,000 years ago. So the question is, this whole series, the physical touch of God, if he's not on earth physically in the same way, then when God wants to reach out and touch a life now, the same way he did back then in the Gospels, how does he do it? And again, this passage points us to the answer, hints at the answer, gives it in nascent form. How does God touch a life now? Did you see it when I read? Did you catch it? How does God reach out and touch a life now? Whew. He breathes. Now, I don't think we should take it, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. I don't think we should take it that the Holy Spirit is no more and no less than the physical air molecules coming out of Jesus' body. You know, carbon dioxide, Holy Spirit, that's it. I don't think we should take it that way. So how do we understand this? Receive the Holy Spirit. This is a symbolized promise. It is a symbolic act depicting a spiritual reality that is about to happen. And that reality, of course, is Pentecost. 50 days later after this, you get to Acts chapter 2, and the fullness that this is depicting happens. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Acts chapter 2, it happens. So he's not on earth physically the same way now. How does Jesus reach out and touch a life physically in our day and age? He looks at you and me as followers, and he says, you receive my Spirit. I'm going to fill you with it, my presence. So that his presence now is in us, that's how we experience it, and what means when you and I reach out and we touch another life, it is as the very touch of God to them. So think of all that we have seen the last 2 weeks, the mercy, the compassion, the wholeness, the humility, the sense of going out to another, that's now taking place through us. We become that, the body of Christ to a world around us. So have you experienced that? Either being on the receiving end of it or being on the giving end. It's real. And when that kind of poignant provision happens to you in a moment of need, you know this was as the very touch of God to me. Jacob knew about it. He said to Esau, after experiencing reconciliation, peace with a brother he'd been reconciled with, he said, for to see your face is as seeing the face of God. He knew. He had just wrestled with him. All right, this is real. All right, that leads us to a final implication for us today, and that is three, his mission for us. In doing this, reaching out to others, one final implication for us. Verse 21, Jesus says, the way the Father sent me is the way I'm going to send you, the way I am sending you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And we read that having just read verse 20. He showed them his hands, nail marks, holes, scars from being crucified. He showed them his hands and his side. Same way he sent me, that's how I'm sending you. The whole shape of his ministry, the whole contour of his ministry, not clinging to what he had, but emptying himself, giving himself for others to lift them up, that's how he sends us. If anyone deny himself, if anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if you're going to be one of the ones being his body on earth, what do you have to do? You have to expect pain. You have to expect hardship and loss temporarily and sacrifice and suffering. This is not the American dream. White picket fence, basketball hoop in the driveway, safety at above all else. That is an American ideal, not a New Testament ideal. Reading a missionary biography this week of missionaries, a missionary family to a Muslim nation in northern Africa. Husband ended up being martyred by Muslim extremists. They asked his wife, do you regret coming? You know what her answer was? Regret? Her answer was, we died before we came here. This is why we came. And she tells the story of wrestling in their call of discernment to go to this desert nation. At one time thinking, three young kids, surely God won't send us to a place where you can't push a stroller, will he? Because it's all sand, there's no sidewalks. He won't ask us to do that. Of course, the cost ended up being far more. And she continues to go back, and she continues to be neighbors with and to love the very same people. It has been said that Jesus' wounds are his credentials to a human race in suffering. And it's the same for his followers. You want to reach out corporately as much as individually and be that touch of God on a life? Awesome. Here's the pattern. And it's in that self-giving that by his Holy Spirit, we continue, not replace, but we continue the ongoing work of the ministry we saw unveiled while he was here on this earth. So let's pray together that he would do that within us. Lord Jesus, we do pray that if anyone here has not known you in saving faith before, that you would open their eyes to your scars and to the whole finished work that they are evidence of. And for those of us who have known you already in saving faith, we know for each one there is a fuller work and a fuller walk yet in store for us to step into. So we pray that just as you did with those first disciples, pointing forward to Pentecost, that you would lead us into the fullness of having your Spirit dwell in us, that you might go through us to a world who needs to see and know you. We pray this for your glory and honor. Amen. Everything needed for the salvation of a soul was secured at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's then applied individually by the Holy Spirit to heart after heart after heart. If he's not on earth physically now in the same way, how does he reach those hearts? By indwelling us and sending us out to be the hands and feet of Christ, particularly as we present the scars. The name of that song is Facing a Task Unfinished. I'd encourage us to go home throughout this week. Just have that on play. Let the words be our prayer. We died before we came here. It's not just for overseas missionaries. So let's go out to a world with kingdom hope unfurled and have that be the same rallying cry for us. I died before I ever reached you. Knowing that everyone who lays down his life for Christ and for the gospel will take it up again. He give us grace to do that. God bless.